Most of you know that we started this book last September. We went from September through January, then we took a bit of a break, and now we're trying to finish it up. I think this is the second to last message from the book of Jude. And just as a reminder, the whole book of Jude, the theme is apostasy. Jude, of course, wasn't the second last book that was written, but God, by his design, put it as the second last book in our Bible. The last book of Revelation talks about the Lord coming back. Second last book is this book of Jude, and it warns us something that will happen just before the Lord comes back. And that warning is a great apostasy. Apostasy is not talking about people that never got saved. Apostasy is talking about people that were saved, were in the house of God, were faithful to God, and then they chose to turn away and walk away from that. That's apostasy. I know that Paul mentioned that. And so it's a warning about that. Tonight we're in verse 22 and verse 23. So if you would follow as I read again, Jude, there's only one chapter, verse 22 and 23. The Bible says, "And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh." Let's pray. Father, again, we're so grateful for each one that's here. I know that some are out of town. I know that some are home, not well. Help our people wherever they're at. I pray that you'd help us as we're beginning to tie up this little book. Help us to understand that what Jude is now writing in these two verses is different than anything he's written up to this point. Help us to understand what he's saying. Help us, Lord, to be able to put it in practice, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, the whole book of Jude is warning that there will be a turning away, and it's a turning away of people that were faithful in the house of God. He doesn't say they turn away because of outside pressure. He doesn't say they turn away because the government is pushing something on them. He doesn't say these people are turning away because the fads and the fashions of this world are changing. He's saying that turning away is because there are some in the church that don't want old-fashioned Christianity again. And so instead of them leaving, their project is to somehow change the flavor of the church. And Judas told us, when you see this happen, you need to earnestly contend for the faith. Don't sit back. Don't let them run over the church and revise the church. Stand for the faith. If you've been with us, everything from verse 4 to verse 19, he has told us how you can identify these changers, how you can identify these people that are trying to revolutionize a church that they've been a part of so long. In fact, if you were with us, Jude gave us 27 characteristics that identify these people. Now, I have to be honest, preaching through those 27 was pretty discouraging. I mean, it was week after week after week. And having said that, when we got to the end of verse number 19, that was a few weeks ago, when we got to verse 20 and 21, Jude's topic now shifts. It shifts from how we're going to recognize these people that are trying to change. He now shifts in verse 20 and 21 that we saw last week, and he shifts, what can you and I do to prevent ourselves from being a casualty? They're trying to make us a casualty, but what can we do to prevent from that happening? And so we saw that last week. We reached back to verse 17. And he said, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord." He said, you need to get in your Bible. You need to find out what God said, what the apostles of God said. Stick close to the word of God. Second thing we found there in verse 20, "But ye beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith." You have to strengthen your faith. You have to build your faith. Third thing at the end of verse 20, praying in the Holy Ghost. You have to have a strong prayer life. Verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. Make sure love is the prevailing virtue in your heart. Folks, we can't let love be replaced with hate.
We can't let love be replaced with bitterness. Preacher, I am so angry with you. Can't let yourself go that way. If we get angry and if we get bitter, we will become a casualty just like they are. So he said, fourth, you need to keep yourself in the love of God. And finally, the fifth one, he said, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor, why would we have to look for the mercy of the Lord? Those are the people that have changed. Because if you're not careful, you too will change. Folks, we need the mercy of God in our lives just as much as they need the mercy of God in their lives. Having said that, tonight we come to verse 22 and 23. Now, I have to be honest. I had thought for the first 50 years of my life that verse 22 and 23 were always a charge for soul winning. I have heard a number of messages in my Christian life, and they've used verse 22 and 23 for their text. Look what they do with it. Now, it's not a wrong application, though I don't think it's the primary application. Look at verse 22. And of some have compassion, making a difference. So the take from that, that if we're to reach a lost world, then we're going to have a compassion for that lost world. That's fair. Look there in verse 23. Well, Pastor, how do we know that's about salvation? Well, this is what they would say. And others save with fear. There it is. They say, you see, that word save is right in there, and they'll keep reading. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. They'd say hellfire. Hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. So I have heard so many messages from verse 22 and 23 that if we're going to make a difference in this lost world, we are going to have a compassion for the fact that they are lost without God, without hope. Again, that's a fair application. But I don't think that's the primary application when Jude was writing it. Why do you say that? Because the entire book has been about apostasy. The entire book has been about people who once were in church and now have abandoned the church, and some of those throwing mud back as they abandon. It's of those people that now Jude is writing. Now look with that context in mind, verse 22. And of some have compassion. So the some isn't us. The some is those that have walked. That's what the entire book has been about. So when we find that some have walked away from God, walked away from church, walked away from Bible, from prayer, everything else that we're supposed to do, this verse is talking about some of those. We are going to be able to win them back if we have some compassion with them. He's saying there is another crowd, though, that's walked. Look, verse 23, and others. So some we're going to be able to influence, maybe even influence back if we have compassion with them. Others of those that have walked away, compassion alone is not going to help them. Look again at verse 23. It says in verse 23, and others, that's others who have walked, save with fear. And so we're going to get into that. And so if you're taking notes tonight, my title is Helping Those Who've Walked Away. Helping Those Who've Walked Away. And so again, that's really what the primary application of that. Pastor, what is to be our approach to those that have taken the path to apostasy? Some people's approach is hunt them down and kill them. Some people's approach is just bust them in the face, break out their teeth, break their neck, kick them. No, that is not our attitude toward that people that have made the choice to walk. According to verse 22 and 23, our attitude is try to help them. And to do that with some, it's going to just take a lot of compassion. With others, there's going to be a little fear involved in our trying to help. Again, helping those who've walked away. Let's begin there again in verse 22. And of some have compassion. Then look at verse 22. And others save with fear, pulling them out. Very first thing, if you're taking notes, I want to remind us that we can make a difference. We can make a difference. Now, people that give up on those that have walked away have come to the conclusion that there's nothing that they can do to make a difference. But that verse 22, again, it makes this statement, and of some have compassion, making a difference. So we can make a difference. Listen, it might be that you now are in church. Thank God that you are. But it could be that some here can look back on a time in their life when they got mad at God, mad at God's people, and walked away. And I'm saying to you that somebody tried to rescue you. Somebody tried to reclaim you. So these two verses, one, remind us of the fact that we can make a difference. Just as much as God uses believers to reach the unsaved with the gospel, God also wants to use believers to reach those that have walked away from God to bring those people back. Folks, we can make a difference. Now, we're going to see in just a bit how that difference is made. But as sure as God uses believers to win lost people to Christ. Romans 10, how shall they hear without a preacher? So it's going to take somebody to get the gospel to a lost person. Folks, we're trying. You know, we're handing out tracts like a tract-passing machine, holding up scripture signs, knocking on doors, witnessing to people we do. Preacher, why do we put in that effort? Because we can make a difference. But, you know, we can also make the difference in a Christian that's fallen, in the Christian that has turned 180 and walked away. I think that some of you would recognize Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. So again, God uses believers to get the gospel to the lost. God also uses believers to reclaim Christians that have walked away. First of all, I say to you, we can make a difference. We know that David committed adultery with Bathsheba. He tried to hide it for about how long? A year. He tried to hide that adultery for a year. We learned later when he wrote Psalm 51, he admitted, I was miserable that entire year. As much as he had fallen away from doing what God wanted him to do, the Bible says God sent a prophet named who? Nathan to David. Why? To try to help David get back. God can use us to make a difference. Not only did God use a believer to help David get back, we know that when Peter denied the Lord three times, we were reminded that in the play. When Peter denied the Lord three times, he obviously had lost some spiritual ground in his life. That resurrection morning, the women were told, go tell the disciples and Peter that the Lord's going to meet them. God was going to use those women to reclaim Peter. Do you know that John Mark, he was a young missionary helper for Paul and Barnabas. We know that John Mark bailed out of the ministry right in the middle of that first missionary journey. We know that Paul wasn't ready to help John Mark get back in. But we know what Barnabas was. God used Barnabas to help John Mark get back in. And if you read, I think it's 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 13, God used Peter to help John Mark get back. And so I'm saying to you, the first thing that we learn from this passage in Jude, we can make a difference. We can make a difference. There's plenty of Bible verses where God uses people to rescue others. Again, we know there in Romans chapter 11, Paul said, for I speak to you Gentiles, as inasmuch as I am an apostle of Gentiles, I magnify my office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are in the flesh and might save some of them. That's an interesting word. Paul says God is going to use me and Christians just like me to save some lost people. Hold on a minute. We know that only Jesus can save. But God wants to use you and me in that kind of saving business. We know that some marriages have troubles. We know that there's some marriages on the edge of breaking up. But you know, God can use outside people to help. Now, our problem, can I just give you a heads up if you're having marriage problems? Don't splash that out and hang that dirty laundry out for everyone to see. And there are some that are just trying to get the muck and the mire. Don't hang out your dirty laundry, because there are some people that you hang it out to can't hardly wait to tell somebody else. But there are some people that can help a marriage that's having troubles. There are some books that can help people that are going through marriage troubles. It says over there in 1 Corinthians 7, we won't read it all. It talked about a marriage that was in trouble. And Paul said, 1 Corinthians 7:16, what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? I'm saying that God uses, as much as God uses people to lead lost folks to Christ, God also uses people to salvage believers' lives that are in trouble. So the first thing that we learn again is we can make a difference. I give you a second thing, back there to Jude, look there in verse 22. And of some, having compassion, making a difference. Not only do we see that we can make a difference, if you're taking notes, would you write this down? We can't make a difference in the flesh. We can't make a difference in the flesh. You know that our flesh, the Bible says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. If we are going to help some of these that have walked away from God, we're not going to be able to do it in our power. We're only going to be able to do it in God's power. Pastor, how do you get that from verse 22? Well, look at the very first word. Help me. What's the very first word in verse 22? And. It's such a simple truth. We've said it before. The word and, whenever it's used in the English language, tells us it's continuing a thought that has already been mentioned. The word but tells us we've taken 180. So the fact that verse 22 begins with and is reminding us that we won't be able with compassion to make a difference unless we've already got what Jude has written in the previous verses. We already saw that. That's what we looked at last week. If you're not in your Bible and the Bible in you, if you are not, according to verse number 20, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, if you're not, verse number 20, already praying in the Holy Ghost, if you're not, verse 21, already keeping yourselves in the love of God, if you're not, verse 21, looking for the mercy of our Lord, if you yourself aren't spiritually strong, you're not going to be able to help somebody else out. Folks, if you're up and down in your Bible reading, up and down in your prayer, in and out of church, if you're on top of it one day and discouraged the other day, you cannot help rescue somebody else from their doldrums of spiritual problem. It's going to take, you have to be on top of your spiritual game. You have to be on top and in tune with God. So the first thing that we've been reminded from our text tonight is we can make a difference. God can use Christian people to help those that have walked away from God. God can use those people. Hopefully they're us. But secondly, we can't make a difference in the flesh. If you're not stable, you can't help somebody that's unstable. Because if you're unstable, you're not going to lift them up. What's going to happen instead? They're going to tear you down. Listen, we won't. But if I had someone down there and they were stronger than me, and I tried to pull them up, they'd just pull me down. And there's a lot of Christians that have the intellectual sense to know how to help somebody, but they don't have the spiritual strength to help somebody. And again, if you and I are hit and miss in our Christian life, we cannot help somebody who has turned on their feet and walking away. I say the second thing is we cannot make a difference, or we cannot make a difference in the flesh. If we try to restore another in our own power, we're not going to pull them up. They're going to pull us down. Keep your hand there in Jude. I know I've referred to this, but have a look at this verse again. Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6. Look there, if you wouldn't, verse number 1. Galatians 6, verse 1. I think this is an example of a believer trying to help another believer who's fallen. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, I think that would be a fault if someone walked away from God. So this is fitting. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of weakness. So you understand, that's quite a qualifier. We can't help them if we're not spiritual. We can't help them if we're not on solid on both of our spiritual legs. We can't help them if we don't have a devotional life. We can't help them if we don't have a prayer life. So he said again, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Why is that so important, Pastor? Look at the end of chapter 6, verse 1. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And listen, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that some of our people are struggling. It doesn't take a rocket scientist. Not everybody can cover up quite as well as others. It's really telling who some of these people in a valley of their Christian life, who they go to get their counsel. It's very telling. Sir, why would you go to get help from that man? He's not even faithful to church. Ma'am, why would you unload your burdens on that woman? She's not consistent herself. Do you understand what I'm saying? We cannot help somebody. We cannot make a difference in the flesh. Preacher, I'd sure like to help somebody else. Are you on top of your spiritual game? Does God hear your prayers, and does God answer your prayers? Does God speak to you morning after morning as you read the scriptures? Preacher, I have to be honest, that's not me. Then you are not the one that's going to make a difference in their lives. You're not going to be able to help them up. They're going to pull you down. So again, the whole verse 22 and 23 is, how can we help somebody who has walked away in apostasy? How can we help? Well, one, we can make a difference. That's good news. But two, we can't make a difference in the flesh. We're going to have to spiritually be on top of it. And again, that's really where this whole book back there to Jude, if you would, that's really what this whole book of Jude is saying. For verse 1, it tells us it's written to believers. Verse 2 and 3 and 4, it talks about the fact that many a church is going through this testing period where the devil's trying to change them. Everything, the verse 4 to verse 19, identifies the changers that are trying to do it. Verse 20 and 21, but you are going to have to do something to keep yourself strong. And again, verse 22 and 23 said, you can make a difference if you're on top of it. So again, we've seen we can make a difference too. We can't make a difference in the flesh. Look there at the third thing, if you would. Look at verse 22. It says, and of some have compassion, making a difference. So some of these that have walked, you're going to be able to win their hearts and win them back if you have compassion. We do need compassion. Sure we do. But look at verse 23. And others save with fear. And so some of them were going to be able to help. Just compassion, just care. they're going to be convinced that no one cares. They're going to be convinced everybody hates me. Nobody loves me. I need to go to the garden to get worms. There's some people that are convinced like that. You know what you have to do? You have to let them know you care. You have to let them know you have compassion. And so the third thing that we learn here is we must consider why they're out. Again, if you take notes, third thing to write down, if we're going to help those who've walked away, we must consider why they're out. There's at least two different reasons, one in verse 22, one in verse 23. There are two different reasons why many people have left. Now, the simplest of reasons is verse 22. Someone talked them into it. Someone sidelined them. Somebody spoke words into their ear, and they were convinced by somebody else that they should walk. Folks, you know that's true. You know, every church that's ever had a church split, not everybody that left in that split was a troublemaker. Sometimes people that left in that split simply left because my dad did, my mom did, my sister, my brother, my uncle, my aunt, my son, my daughter. They don't even know why. I remember talking to Pastor Fleur down there in Florida. He said, Brother Fleur, I understand your church went through a church split. He said, sure did. He said, you know, we lost 125 people in 1 week, 125 in 1 week. I said, did you see that coming? He said, no. He said, I knew we didn't have that many that were fighting against what we're doing. He said, I just knew that of the people that were going, many of them had talked to friends that were very close to them. And so he said, the 125 people, certainly, they weren't all the troublemakers. Some of them had just been listening to the wrong words, wrong voices. That's the first group that Jude is writing about in verse 22. Some people have been talked against their own will into walking. And he said, you know what? Jude says, a little bit of compassion make all the difference. Hey, we miss you. Hey, we love you. Hey, you always sat in that chair, always looked for it. I really do miss it. Really? Someone told me you didn't like me. I don't know who told you that. It's not true. I still pray for you every single... You do? Well, I didn't know that. Folks, there's some people in every situation, in every church difficulty, in every church split, that walk with those they feel closest to, and they don't even know the issues of the parting of the ways. Why don't they ask? Why doesn't everybody ask? And so you know what Jude says? Third thing, if you're going to make a difference in the lives of people, if you're going to help people who've walked away in apostasy, that's going to happen. Third thing is you're going to have to find out why. Why did they walk? It might be they walked and they didn't even know why. Somebody told them something and they just took it as gospel and they said, well, if that's true, then, well, hold on, do you know if it's true? So the first reason why is I think that some are just innocent and they are caught up in what's happening. Some were tricked, some were fast-talked, some were deceived, some were victims of another's agenda. But look at the second reason that some go. Look at verse 23. And others save with fear. Okay, so some that were naive in the whole shuffle, you win them back with compassion. But he said, others are going to be a little harder to win back. And he said, if you do win them back, you're not going to be able to do it without lots of fear. He said, Pastor, who's the second group? The second group is the ones that are stirring the trouble. The second group is the ones that are making the slander and telling the stories. And you say, well, preacher, I'd sure like to be a help in their lives, but what does it mean save with fear? The fear is the very real possibility of you being swept. their way. Some are innocent. You can help them with compassion. Some are the talkers. Some are the shakers. Some are the accusers. And if you try to step in and try to help them, you're going to find out very quickly, is this an innocent victim of another's agenda? Or is this their agenda? You can win the victims by compassion. But when you find somebody that's still shooting and still accusing, now you have to be careful. Now there's going to be some fear in your hearts, because the closer you get to those people, there's a very real possibility of them taking you down. That's the fear. I'm not a swimmer, so what I'm about to say, I've read somewhere. You'd have to be a good swimmer not to drown in rough waters. How many would agree with that? You don't go swimming in rough waters unless you're a good swimmer. So you'd have to be a good swimmer not to drown in rough waters. But you'd have to be a much better swimmer if you try to rescue someone else drowning. You can't just be an ordinary swimmer, folks. You have to be an even better swimmer. If you find somebody else swimming in rough waters, and they're going down for the third time, don't jump in if you're not a strong swimmer. Why? Help me. They're going to take you down. There's many a case where a good swimmer tried to rescue a drowning swimmer, and they both were lost. Because a drowning swimmer is just a flailing and just a fighting and just, and I've read, they have to knock that swimmer out before they can get them finally out of the water. I give you another example. I suppose that you'd have to be a strong person if you're in a burning building and the doors and windows aren't accessible. You'd have to be a pretty strong person to kick a bust a hole in the wall to get out yourself. You'd have to be. But if you were in a building and saw somebody else that had passed out, you'd even have to be a stronger person to put them over your shoulder and still kick a hole in the wall and get both of you out. I'm saying to you, the third thing that we learn from the text is you're going to have to identify when you try to help that person that's walked away. Are they simply an innocent person that was caught up in the excitement and they don't know why, or they've been told stories, or they've been lied to? Then you might just be able to win them back with some compassion, with some love, with some time spent, with some enthusiasm. But if you're trying to win back the ringleaders, if you're trying to win back in the Korahs and the Absaloms, you better make sure that you're feet are steady and your back is solid and your walk with God is good. I say the third thing, it's pretty obvious between verse 22 and 23 that there are two different reasons why some have walked away. We know that when Adam and Eve fell to the temptations of the serpent, that God dealt differently with Adam and Eve than he dealt with a serpent. I think that's fair. God came to Adam and Eve and asked, God talked to them. Why did you do this? Who told you? God talked to them. Now, they still were judged for making a bad choice. But you know, when it came to God dealing with the serpent, God didn't talk to the serpent. The serpent was the ringleader of that trouble. God swiftly dealt with that serpent. So again, I say to you that we must consider why they're out. May we never lose the compassion, but may we also never lose the fear of trying to help anybody turned around and come back could jeopardize you. I give you the last thing with us. I'm done. Look back there in Jude verse 22. To this point, we found we can make a difference. God does use believers to rescue wayward people. Good thing. Secondly, we found we can't make a difference in the flesh. You're going to have to be stronger. You're going to have to be more spiritual. You're going to have to be keen and on guard. Third thing, we must consider why they're out. Are they just a casualty caught in the crossfire? Or they are still the ones that are shooting? Fourth thing, in verse 22, it says, and of some have compassion. Look at verse 23, and others. I want you to notice what verse 23 does not say. It does not say, and all others. Do you know that everybody walks won't be rescued? Is that fair? Everybody that leaves won't come back. Some could be brought back with compassion. Others, it's going to take a carefulness and a cautiousness and a fear so you don't get swept up with the stories that they've been telling everybody. But some of those could even be regained. But you won't get them all. That's why it says, verse 22, some. Verse 23, others. But when you add the some and the others together, it still isn't 100%. Our Lord in John 6 and verse 66, we read in that text that from that time, many of his disciples went back. Whose disciples? Jesus. Jesus himself had a vast number of people in John 6, verse 66 that turned on their heels and walked away. You know what the rest of that verse says? John 6 and verse 66, for that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. That means they never came back. Everybody that walks doesn't come back. I wish it were true that they all will. I pastored almost 34 years. I couldn't count on two hands and two feet the people in 34 years that have walked, for whatever reason. I could count on one hand the number that have walked that have ever come back. Folks, it's not many that come back. John Mark is the exception. John Mark quit. Thank God he got back in. Demas is the rule. Most people that get out never get back in. You say, well, Pastor, how is that encouraging? Well, let me give you the last thing. Write this down. We must take comfort in even one that we help. We must take comfort in even one that we help. If you've set your sights on bringing everybody back, you're going to be very discouraged. But if you set your sights on trying to help at least one come back, you have great reason for encouragement. For some, it's just a little bit of time, a little bit of encouragement, a little bit of compassion. For others, it's going to take caution. I read the story of a young man named Mark. He was walking home from school one day. He noticed another boy ahead of him on the sidewalk, had tripped, dropped all his books, along with the two sweaters he was carrying, a baseball bat, a glove, a small tape recorder. So when Mark caught up with him, he knelt down, helped the boy pick up all those articles. And since they were going the same way, Mark said, listen, I'll help carry your stuff. Where do you live? He said, I'll carry it with you. When Mark got to Bill's house, Young man's name is Bill. Bill said, listen, you've been such a friend. Would you come into the house? Can we spend some time? He said, sure. So Mark went into Bill's house and, you know, they played video games, talked about baseball, talked a little bit about history. Bill shared the fact that he was having trouble with some of those subjects and he felt he didn't have a friend in the world. So they arrived at Bill's home and he invited Mark to come in. They drank some Coke, played some games. The rest of the afternoon, they just enjoyed their time with a few laughs, shared some small talk, and then Mark went to his home. Do you know that friendship that was started that day, that friendship continued. They saw each other at school, often ate lunch together, ended up at the same high school where they had brief contacts over the years. Finally, it came to the time of graduation, and Bill asked Mark if they could talk. Mark said, sure, what's in your mind? Bill said, do you remember that day that you were walking behind me and I dropped my books, dropped my sweaters, dropped my ball glove? Do you remember it? He said, yeah. Mark said, I remember that. He said, that's when we met. He said, we've had some good times with that. He said, you probably wondered why I was carrying so many things home from school that day. He said, you see, I had cleaned out my locker. I didn't want to leave a mess for anyone else. I'd stored away some of my mother's pills back home. And I was going home that day to commit suicide. He said, I'm just done. I had no reason to live. But he said, then you stopped. You helped me pick up my stuff. You helped me carry it to my house. You came in at my invitation. We spent an afternoon together. And he said, when you left, I went and looked at all those pills that I had saved up. And he said, you know what? I've just made a friend. And if I take these pills, I'll never get to spend another day with him. Maybe I'll just wait. And he said, that was years ago. And he said, you know what? Your compassion made all the difference in my life. He spent 21 verses in Jude telling us that there will be some that walk. In verse 22, he says, we might be able to reclaim some of them just by compassion. He said, with the other group that's the instigators of these things, it's going to take some more caution, some more carefulness. Jude says, you might not be the one to work with them because they're going to pull you down. But he said, when you can help somebody get back on track for God, you need to rejoice.